This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
Why and how do we love? That's what we dig into every single week. Today, Ben and I are taking an entire show to ask each other those simple questions in the first of our Me and You series. It's Monday, June 19th, and this is Love Bites Radio. Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo. I'm 35 and single, and you can find me as @WordsFoodArt.
And I am your other host, Ben Rosenblatt. I am 34, in a relationship, and you can find me as @BenRoseNYC.
And I'm binge eating fingerling potatoes
It is summer in the city, and we have the air conditioning on here in the studio, but both of us are still sweating.
My heart is pounding.
Why is that?
It could be the sodium. Maybe it's the salt. I'm going to say it's the salt.
I'm going to say it's the nerves.
Our Me and You series. It's been a long time since we've talked about our love lives on the show. My lack of love life on the show. So that's what we're going to do today. We're kicking off a new series, Benjamin, and we're so smart. We've created a situation in which we are now both a little we're schwitzing a little.
Let's be honest. We're dreading it.
We're dreading it a little bit. We're excited and we're nervous.
It's about to get real over here.
Why don't you explain what we're doing?
Okay, we are really just getting to the bottom of...
Well, our series, we just finished our New Beginning series, and now we're going to our Me and You series. So for the rest of the summer, it's just two people and a microphone. So today, it's me and you, Ben.
Me and you and me. No matter how they toss the dice, it had to...
Anyway.
Keep going.
The only one
the longer
for me
you keep going,
you
the longer so it is until we have to start answering these questions. So today we're going to interview
each other
and to choose who...
Yeah, so you just hit an anniversary, a year in your relationship with Ms. Diana.
A year, we just passed a year since our first kiss, actually.
So how many anniversaries do you have? Do you have a first anniversary?
And that didn't come much later.
Committed.
Oops, did I say that out loud?
Okay, and so you're the coupled one and I'm the single one, so we're going to interview each other on what we know about love and ourselves and our lives, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, so to choose who's going to go first,
rock, paper, scissors.
We're going to play a little rock, paper, scissors, because I don't want to be the...
Wait, so we do rock, paper, scissors, and then shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay, ready?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
I win. So that means you go first. So I ask you first.
Shit.
Yes.
God. Do we have to do 2 out of 3?
No. We don't have time. We're a short show.
Okay.
Short trip.
Okay.
So first, actually, Ben, why don't you describe to your listeners the ABCs of your relationship status now?
Okay.
Because for those who are not familiar, we're talking very fast. Let's take a deep breath. So, for new listeners to Love Bites Radio, 2 summers ago, we started out as purely a dating relationship for those in the food world and hospitality show. And we've evolved since then into a relationships of all sorts show. But in the beginning, we talked a lot about both of our quests for love. We were both single. Ben is not single anymore. So, Ben, give us the ABCs of your relationship status, por favor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a really happy relationship of about a year. and we spent a lot of time together, and yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what else to say other than that. That won't be, I don't think, maybe answered later on.
Okay. Well, so first, I mean, a lot of the beginning of the show as we were dating, we talked about sort of your concerns about commitment, but you wanted commitment. But as we were talking about the women you were dating, it was about finding, but being nervous about commitment. So what do you most enjoy about being in a relationship that you didn't expect?
Yeah. I enjoy a lot about it, including all of the little things like having a partner, which is not a little thing, but having a partner. I enjoy the quiet moments together. I enjoy the fun times out together.
You guys do very well with that. Like, you're very, like you were saying earlier today that yesterday at like 4:30, you're like, let's go to Atlanta. You were both like, let's go to Atlantic City.
We almost had an impromptu trip to Atlantic City.
So she can keep up with you, which is awesome.
She can. But we're also very good at being lazy and not doing anything together. And so that works. That's a great aspect of our relationship, is kind of like what we like to do with our time, we do together, and that's great.
Right.
But I do think the thing I like most that I didn't expect, which is what you asked, is the feeling after a conflict has been resolved. And the feeling of deepening the bond when I have a fear about something and we then, it kind of maybe blows up a little bit. We have an argument, or, you know, we talk through something serious and then we're at kind of like a new place, and it feels really good to have like gotten something out in the open and move past it and still be together and move forward.
What's the unexpected part of that?
I didn't realize that would feel so good to do that. Like, I don't obviously like when we get in an argument and that there's some of that, or, you know, where there's conflict in the relationship, there's some of that that can feel not so good. But it's, I guess I just didn't realize what the moment after is like and how kind of nice it feels to have moved past something.
Can you give me an example of something where you were maybe concerned that you wouldn't resolve it and move past?
We have different needs as far as like how much space the two of us need in the relationship. And I felt like expressing my side of that story, my needs might push her away. And I think she maybe feared the same thing for me. And then we both did that. We got it out in the open. We had a nice discussion about it. We both found ways to feel like we're both going to meet each other's needs in that regard. And then now we're doing that.
And neither of you walked away, and neither of you...
Right. Like, neither of us scared the other person away.
The other. Right. Right. Awesome. So, I don't know if this is too loosey-goosey of a question, but, like, how does the world look differently to you now as a committed and loving partner than it did when you were single? Like, has it changed how you view other people or love or how you feel about yourself?
Yeah,
or
I think the answer is actually no, it hasn't. And I think the thing that I'm most proud of and encouraged about the relationship is that my worldview remains completely intact in this relationship. And I don't feel like, I feel completely sober and myself and like right in line with what I think a relationship is and should be in this relationship. I don't feel blinded by rose-colored glasses. I don't feel like, you know, I see the world differently, which to me would actually, I think, kind of be a little bit of a red flag. Like, I feel
it's
very
funny that
much
you say
like,
that, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's funny that you say that, though, because I would expect the opposite from you. Like, we've talked a lot in the past about you wanting this, like, this big transformative, like this almost dramatic sort of love and being worried about settling for something that didn't feel big. And so to hear you say that, like, there aren't rose colored glasses and that, you know, you don't feel shifted. Like, so is this something that has evolved for you?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think that the chasing of that feeling of something big is actually a manifestation of fear of commitment.
Mm.
Like, when you find the thing that makes you feel, like, totally head over heels gaga, and like you view the world in a different way, it's probably like it's taking you away from who you are and what you think and feel and believe. And I feel like I was chasing something for many years that was going to make me feel like someone I'm not. Mm. That's what's going to save me from my worldview, save me from my cynicism, save me from my boring life. And now, like, I still am a cynical person, and I still am, like, bored with my own life sometimes, and I still am, like, kind of a miserable person a lot of the time. Aww. And yet, like, I have this thing that is working and is real and is not intended to save me from that, but is, like, you know, a significant part of my life.
All right. So, miserable person. I would never actually consider you. I would never look at me and be Ben is such a miserable person.
You know.
But I, no, I get it. I get it. So miserable person. Where do you, like, be honest? Where do you want your relationship to go? Like, what do you see for the future? What do you want for the future? And is that different than what she wants? Is it the different, if it, are you guys on the same path with the indefinite future of your relationship 1 year in now?
Good question.
Thank you.
The honest answer.
Honest,
I see it going is that I want our relationship to grow in such a way that it continues to enhance both of our lives. People grow and change, and needs within a relationship grow and change. And I want our relationship to continue to grow in such a way where our bond deepens and we are both meeting each other's growing and changing needs. I don't personally have, at least at this point, needs or desires or I don't view our relationship on any sort of like track, like as far as like tangible
goals,
things
milestones
to be reached. She does. And so we differ a little bit in that regard.
A little bit or more than a little bit? Has it been a problem?
It's been something that we've had to talk about. And that we like need to communicate about and make our points of view more clear to each other, so that we can more fully understand what it is we want and why we want it. And I am not like necessarily closed off to achieving any sort of milestones that she might view as important.
Listeners, I just want you to know that that's a different statement than was a couple months ago, which I'm not saying commits you to anything left or right, but that that crack in an open mind wasn't there when you and I discussed this a couple months ago. So what do you feel has changed? What has caused this crack in a box, we will say, because we've talked about boxes in the past.
Yeah, I think it's, well, one, it's like a deeper understanding of my partner and what her needs and wants are, and a growing need and desire to continue our relationship. And outside of that, I think it's just one of the things that I think has gotten me this far in our relationship is remaining open to things that scare me. And I think I'm trying to continue to do that. And I think like doing that I've had like positive things happen in my life as a result of doing that.
Yes. To saying so, open to things that scare you. Yeah. Yes.
So
yay.
I'm trying to continue to do that.
Yay. Oh, I love that, Benjamin. So in that light though, like, do you still feel like you struggle with some aspects of commitment? Because I'm so like, I love the idea of just facing like, okay, this is how I feel and it's hard, but I want to stay in something and I want to love my partner and I want, you know, like letting a crack of light come in to see, like, you're not committing another way to any movement in one direction, but you're just being open
And that's growth already, and saying yes to things that scare you. Awesome. But is there any struggle still? Like, you know, you have struggled with a commitment in the past. Are you still struggling with commitment?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge struggle of mine in my life, and something that was, is, and probably always will be a struggle of mine, because I'm a human being, and our issues are probably going to be our issues for large periods of time.
Well, what
in our
specifically,
life.
Like, are you struggling with anything specific though?
I don't know that it's anything specific other than, you know, fears of committing. I mean, I think that is specific enough.
You're committed.
I am committed. But that doesn't mean it doesn't scare me, and that I don't have anxiety about it, and that I don't occasionally, you know, think I'm going to screw it up and be a terrible partner, and that I, you know, like I said, I'm trying to leave doors open to things that scare me, but they still scare me. And that makes keeping that door open like a very difficult thing.
Gotcha. So, you're over the year kissing mark. When you think back to the year since you first kissed up in the cold wilderness of Portland, Maine. No, that was Portland, Oregon.
Lewiston, Maine. But it was April. It wasn't
too
cold. I know,
but I'm trying to paint a more remote, stark picture of your courting. Do you have any major regrets about anything you've done, or a rough point, something you've learned from that you're glad you're over? Or?
No, I don't have anything that I regret. I feel like I'm proud of myself for being a good partner in my relationship, which I think is like the most important factor, the most important thing. I've certainly have not been perfect, but I think I'm doing a good job. And the things that mistakes I maybe have made along the way, I'm learning from. And, you know, you kind of prepped me with these questions beforehand, and I'm thinking about it. I don't think there's a thing in my life that I've done that I regret.
So, listeners, we always prep each other and our guests with these questions. So since I did prep you with these questions, and we shared with each other that we were worried that our partner's questions were much more awesome than our own to each other, I was like, your questions are so much better than mine. But they've been thoughtful questions for ourselves. So what did sort of thinking through these questions about your relationship, did you learn anything or anything new or reflect upon anything new that, for better or for worse, has just sort of given you something that you're going to continue to chew upon?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've learned more by saying it out loud and to you and getting your feedback. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm realizing I have kind of come a long way and have gained ground in my commitment fears, which is something I knew, obviously, now that I'm in a relationship for about a year. But yeah, I mean, I think that's something I'm constantly beating myself up on for not being further ahead of where I am in all aspects of my life, this being one of them. And I think I can, you know, take a second to, you know, reflect and feel positive about where I am with this.
And I think you should.
Thank you.
Yay. Well, I'm going to go back to eating potatoes.
Are you going to answer my questions when they come up?
Well, why don't you? No, I'm going to eat potatoes. Why don't you tell our peeps how they can become members?
Okay, I will. Before we take our break, a reminder that all of our 70-plus shows are available for a listen on iTunes, Stitcher, and at heritageradionetwork.org, and that we are only here because Heritage is a member-supported station. Our summer membership drive is in full effect, and we need our listeners to join us. Yes, we are card-carrying members, too.
Woohoo!
And becoming a member is super easy. Just head to heritageradionetwork.org, click on the beating heart in the upper right corner, and select a one-time or recurring package that looks right for you. We have a limited edition summer member thank you gifts right now, like t-shirts and pins, and you'll be on the list for nifty members-only events as well. So thank you for helping us keep excellent food and lifestyle radio on the air this summer. We are always available to you as at Love Bites Radio on social and via email as lovebites@heritageradionetwork.org. We will forever love you for supporting our work and our team. And now we're going to take a quick break.
The
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
And we are back, and it's my turn to dig into the soul, psyche, and the baggage of my dear friend, Jacqueline.
Yeah, what's up?
Contrary to me, you've been single for the last year, and not only single, but not really dating at all. And over the last year, actually, you announced about a year ago,
June 20th,
on episode 36, episode 36 of Love Bites, that you were embarking on some abstinence.
Yes. Well, okay, yeah. So on June 20th, on that show, I
said... Not sexual abstinence, no.
I said I'm going off of social media and dating apps for 40 days. And it was because it was a mashup of, it was the Pulse nightclub shootings. If you want to listen to that episode, it's episode 36, I think we said. And yeah, it was the Pulse nightclub shootings that happened, and a guy from Bumble had ghosted on me, and I was just done with all of it. And so I said for 40 days.
I like how those two things are like.
Well, it was just like social media, dating, being online. I was done with it. And it was just like that June 20th would take me through August. And those 40 days off of the technology like spurred me into, like, it was so life changing that I started this project called My Year of Abstinence. It's myyearofabstinence.com. It ends on Wednesday. It ends June 21st on Wednesday.
Where you've been abstaining from all sorts of different things that you've been trying to kind of like cut out of your life.
Exactly. So after like the 40 days of social media, I did 90 days of shopping. I've done zero waste. I've done like a bunch of different things for periods of life.
Great. So my first question to you is, how has abstaining from active pursuit of romantic relationships been unique to the other forms of abstinence you've practiced?
Well, because I have not purposely abstained from dating. It's been sort of come and go. And so the habit thing, the My Year of Abstinence, has been at its core about taking out a habit and then seeing what happens in its place. And the sort of what's come from this entire year is it's blown my mind. I did not expect it to do what it's done. But like, for example, like during the 90 days of no shopping, I wasn't allowed to buy anything I didn't need. So like, I couldn't replace a chapstick unless I used the whole chapstick, or a lip gloss or a shampoo or anything unless I like used it all. So like, I realized like what I really actually use in life and what I need in life and what I value in life and what I like in life. And like, so doing that with stuff like social media, with shopping, with food, with waste, with like everything, like this entire year has helped me figure out actually like what I love. What I really love and value. And so but then on top of that, I've had one of the worst physical years with my illness that I've had in a long time. So that's where like the not dating part has sort of come in accidentally. They're not directly related. So the dating was not intentional. It was because of my illness, but because of the My Year of Abstinence project, I've had a lot of introspection. And so I've realized that like, what I need and value in other people, and what I would need and value and enjoy in a romantic partner.
And do you have any specifics to share on?
Yeah, like that? I've mentioned it on the show before, that more than anything, I want a gentleman who is good and curious and passionate, because if you're a good human being, you are, obviously it's a big word, but you are a good human being. If you are curious, you're going to listen to podcasts and read books and want to see movies. And if you're passionate, you're going to wake up wanting to embrace the world and meet people and hopefully be creative and all those other things we can, figure out as we go.
So is this newfound understanding of what you're looking for, or this deepening understanding of what you're looking for, part of what's motivating you back into dating now? What, like, why now?
Well, the part of my illness getting worse in the winter, and I am feeling better than I was a couple months ago, is that, like, I mean, I like my time alone, and it's physically safer to be alone, but I've also, like, I really love the people in my life and I value them, but I'm spending too much time alone. And if what I value is the presence and cherished time with others, and if I, what I want in a romantic partner is fun and safety and physical affection, and comfort and things like that, like, I actually have to go out and find that. Like, I can't just, like, I can't, I would like to skip to the committed part. I would like to skip to, like, the Netflix.
I know,
and
you
chill
and I are
part.
So different in that way.
Like, I don't need, like, the bubbly, like, the butterflies. Like, I would love to not care what I look like on a date and to, like, not get all dressed up. Like, I would love just to, like, get to the, like, we're comfortable with each other and we can just enjoy and we're, like, in it, but you can't jump to that. Like, and so I have to go out there and date and I have to be online and I have to get to know people. But, like, so I have to do that because I do want to be with somebody and I want somebody good and passionate and creative and kind and caring. And so, and I need that too. Like, I need somebody wonderful in my life. I'm spending too much time alone. Like, I need people in my life. So, like, but, that brings me good things too.
So
you know?
Was it,
like,
on a whim? Cause I know, and we'll get to this, that you have, you've started online dating,
like,
again.
Yeah, like a week ago. Yeah.
So, like, was it that just, like, a whim?
Well,
or
no,
had it been,
I mean,
something,
like,
you've been thinking about?
I have been over the wind. I have been for months, like, popping back on, but the guys are douchebags. And so then, like, the bad things happen and I go back off. Like, I'm only going to do it if I'm finding value in it. But online dating can still, I take back the douchebag word. That's a mean word.
But true.
Like, you know, like, I would do it and then guys would just be stupid and I'm not going to do it unless it's bringing me joy. I, like, a reverse Marie Kondo now. That's, like, my thing. I only bring stuff into my life if it brings me joy. And so, like, I would do it for a couple of weeks. I do it for not even a couple of weeks, even a couple of days. And, like, it just got, it would be stupid. And I, or, like, guys would, you know, ghost on a text and I would be like, this is stupid. And I would leave.
So what you're saying now is that it's bringing you some joy. We'll get to that
yes.
in a moment.
Yes.
But first,
but, like, but the timing was that 2 weeks ago, I realized, like, I'm being too introspective. I'm spending too much time alone. This is not, it's not healthy to enjoy spending too much time alone. If what I want is a committed relationship, I have to, like, get out of my comfort zone. I have to leave my space. And people do bring me, like, I can only have, I have you, Benjamin, my darling friend. I have our friend who I call Muffin, my darling Lindsay. I've got my brother and my mother and a couple good friends. Hi, Muffin. Hi, Lindsay. You know, I've got a couple friends who I love, who don't drain my energy, who I love. Like, I enjoy the time with people I love so much more. If I'm going to bring a man into that space, I got to go meet the man. Like, I, you know, so it was just, I pushing myself to do it.
Great.
Thank you.
So is there, now that you are pushing yourself to do it, a new approach or a new perspective
yes.
that you're bringing to dating now that you've taken some time away?
Yes, because with a whole abstinence project too, like, I see my shit. I've been spending so much time this past year. Like, I see the good in my life, like, and I own it. Like, I own my nerdy stuff. Like, I know myself so much better now. Like, really, it's like, I'm happy. Like, I'm happy. And I know, and I own my nerdy shit. Like,
what would be left if you didn't own the nerdy shit?
Shut up. You're such an asshole. But I'm proud of it. Like, I'm totally, like, much more at peace with who I am. And I'm very present. I'm so damn in the moment. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm really, like, I really feel like Kimmy Schmidt a lot, like, inside my head. I don't express it, but I feel like I'm unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Like, it's ridiculous inside my head. It's crazy up in here. But, like, I see my walls. I definitely see my walls and I see how I've put them up with men in the past.
Do you see them? So you not, you say you see them when you put them up in the past.
Yeah.
Are you able to feel them when they come up now?
Yes.
What is that? Can you explain what that feels like at all, or
yeah,
how you recognize that?
Yeah. Well, I know where they go in my body. I feel my throat clench up and I feel my heart clench up. It feels physical. Like, I feel my throat clenches up. All of my emotion goes into my throat. I know that about myself. And then my chest closes up. I feel everything sort of come into the center. I can feel myself. And then because also with my illness, when my body shuts down, I focus, everything comes inside. Like, I pull into myself and it's like, I have to put blinders on in order to move forward. And I know that when I put up walls, it's to get through a day. It's survival mode.
That's what my walls are. It's to survive. And so the problem is it's being strong. It's putting up walls to fortify myself.
So how do you combat that? Or do you combat that?
I do. I want to. It's about being. It's about letting other people in. It's about letting somebody take care of me. It's about being vulnerable. And I'm scared shitless to do it. But like, I've been thinking about with the last couple of guys that I've dated that I lied to them a lot. Like I just didn't tell them that I was not feeling well, that I was feeling really, really sick. And I didn't make better choices while I was feeling sick. Like if I was alone, I would have been like, all right, I'm not doing this now. I'm going to do this instead. But because I was with a guy and we had made a plan and we were going to do something, I just like let adrenaline push me through. And I took more pills and didn't tell them I was taking pills to like get myself through something.
What was the fear of letting them in?
I like to be strong and independent and capable. And I don't like to be seen as somebody who is incapable and vulnerable and needs to be taken care of, because I don't like letting illness define me. And I don't, it's really hard to be vulnerable and to let somebody take care of you and to see that you need to be, it's hard. It's hard to be vulnerable and about anything, I think. Like, it's hard for anybody to be vulnerable. And when it's something that you don't have control over, when it's my body that I'm trying to take care of, I want to protect my body too. You're like, I feel like I'm separate from my body. My spirit is separate from my body. So I'm trying to talk to my body and keep it calm. And so me like letting somebody else in is a little, you know, it's vulnerable, but through this period of not dating and really having to take care of my body and embracing solitude. And then also this year I started letting people help me more. I started letting my brother and letting my mother, and my grandmother was cooking for me. And I started talking to people about this idea of accepting help more. And I want to do that in a relationship from the beginning. I don't want to go into something dishonest.
Once you start a pattern of dishonesty like that, it gets much harder to pull back.
Right.
Than if you like set a precedent for yourself and for the relationship.
That's what I figured. Away. And yeah. Also now that I'm aware of it, it would feel like I wasn't aware of it before. I knew what I was doing, but I wasn't aware that I was being dishonest to the other person. Now that I'm aware of it, it wouldn't feel right to go into it that way.
So speaking of going into it, you're going into it with someone right now.
It's so new. It's so new that I feel nervous.
It's brand new.
About it.
You've had two great dates with a new guy. Do we have a nickname for him?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, not yet.
No. Okay. Well, I want to live a little as the guy who's, you know, has the proverbial ball and chain and has been in a relationship for a year and I'm going through the deepening stuff. I want to live vicariously through you on like the brand new early excitement that you say you don't want and need. But let's be honest, it's really fun.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm wondering if you could just walk me through the details right now of like what you're feeling and thinking from like the, you know, little things that are actually happening and the kisses and all that to like whatever premature future fantasies you might be having.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. Well, I was caught off guard. I went online on Monday of last week and he messaged me on Monday. And we went out on a lunch date Wednesday and a dinner date Thursday. And talked for several hours yesterday and we're going out again tomorrow. And I'm caught off guard by how kind and sweet and loving and good. And I'm smitten. I don't remember the last time I've gotten to know somebody as kind and loving. And he's creative. He's a creative person and he's close. I mean, he says things to me, he says things admiring to me that I'm thinking about him and I don't articulate it. And then he articulates it and it catches me off guard too. He's very communicative and honest and easy to talk to. I feel very at ease with him. And that is very comforting and very, that is very nice.
Are you the type of person who does this? I've been guilty of this in the past, like where your irrational mind wanders off into like what the future is going to be like with this guy and picturing.
Because I have this elephant of my, I've got this elephant of this vessel that I live in, which he knows about. And he's paid me some very kind, very, very empathetic compliments, like that have caught me off guard as well, that have sort of blown me away, that are very just compassionate, insightful compliments that I'm just very, like he remembers things that I say briefly and comes up with things that I wouldn't think somebody, but there's doesn't feel like there's a lot of pressure. He's not dramatized. Like, I find that men, when they hear about my illness, often take it very seriously or put me on a pedestal or have a white knight sort of thing, and that can be problematic. And so far, he's not dramatizing my illness, which is nice. But because of my illness, I don't think too far ahead, because in the past,
it's hurt you.
Yeah.
So you cut yourself off from having that, or you just don't even have the impulse?
I cut myself off from thinking that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of your illness, how is your body feeling right now?
Not good. My baseline is like not good, but I'm happy. That's the thing. Like, I'm actually like, I'm not having a good year. And I don't know what's up, and that's frustrating. But I'm happier than I was a year ago. So that's a little absurd.
You've talked a little bit about how you're going to handle the fears that come up because of your illness in the relationship and the walls that come up. But how about the actual practical realities of your illness as far as like it plays into dating right now?
I dropped the fact that I have a chronic illness at the end of our first date when I gave him my online information, because it's obviously like in my social, and if you look up my name, you can find it in on the show and on my essays and things like that. And then we talked about it openly on our second date. And then we were supposed to talk on Saturday night, and I was too sick. And my brain, when I go, like, I become, you've heard me, like, I become, like, my neurological symptoms get messy. And so I just texted him and I asked him if we could not talk because I was too sick. And he was great about it. Like, I was nervous to text him. And he didn't dramatize it. I'm trying to just slowly introduce him to that, because that is my fear. My fear is, like, what is the line? Like, when is my illness going to be too much of a problem? Because I would understand it's been a problem in the past. Sometimes it's when I've been less sick, you know, like I got dumped for not being able to go to the gym with a guy, you know, like that's, and that's fair. So it's like, will there be a line for this guy? And if so, where, when is it? And I would think that's fair. So it's just about like not overwhelming somebody with information and letting him get to know me and letting him get to decide and letting me get to know him too. Like it's a week. Like I don't know this person. So it's just like, I'm just enjoying getting to know him. He's given me nothing to not like about him so far.
Which is awesome.
I'm not thinking about it too seriously, because anytime I start thinking about it too seriously, I think about something really sweet that he said and it makes me smile. So like, why would I think about it too seriously right now?
And I just want to feed back to you, because you were feeding back to me some things while you were interviewing me, that when we started, on this show, talking about these types of issues, one of the questions you had was like, when do I tell someone? How early is it too early to tell someone? Like, and that was a sense
with every guy.
Yeah. It's there was a sense of dread and fear and concern about it for you that now feels like you're owning your reality a little more. And
well, it's a lot more real now than it was 2 years ago. It's worse now in a way. I did think the night before the date, I was like, am I being stupid by even going out on a date? But I'm happy with who I am. I have an illness and it's not my fault. I can't abstain from it. I've tried. I can't take out my illness. There's nothing I can do about that. And I'm still pretty fucking happy with my life. You know, like, so, you know, would I rather, date or would I rather not date? I don't know. Yeah, I would rather date.
Right.
Speaking of would I rather not, like my segue?
I do.
All right, let's boom through this because our show is long. We got to go. So we're finishing our show today with our game. Would you rather? Would you rather not? We got to go fast because I chatted a lot. So it's just there's no winners or losers. It's just would you rather? Would you rather not? Let's do our food question first.
Okay,
Ben.
Would you rather date an amazing cook?
Yes.
Who refuses to eat your cooking or allow you to be a part of his cooking process, or someone who loves your cooking but expects you to cook every meal and not help with the dishes?
Oh my God. I would rather an amazing cook who would never let me help. Yes.
Or never let you cook or.
Yeah, that's fine.
I thought you loved cooking.
Though. I do. Okay. I do. But I cook for every man and nobody ever cooks for me. Okay. And so I'm done. And I'm tired. I'm done. If he's an amazing cook, fine. He can cook for me the rest of my life. I put my fucking feet up. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm swearing a lot on the show. I love it. So mine is actually very similar. Would you rather cook Deanna's favorite meal, her favorite home cooked meal, or have her cook your favorite home cooked meal? Would you rather give or receive?
Ooh. I think I'd rather cook for her.
See, that would be my normal, but you gave me so many frickin' caveats in your question. Okay, next.
Okay. This one's kind of deep and speaks to what we were just talking about. Would you rather be completely free of your chronic illness from this point forward, but never be able to find a committed romantic relationship ever? Or continue on with your unpredictable, debilitating health issues, but find your lifelong romantic partner today?
I would give up my illness. Yeah, I'd give up being sick and be single forever. Okay, your number... Would you rather Deanna get famous and move to L.A. and leave you...
Deanna.
Why am I saying Deanna?
I don't know.
Did I just say it for the first time?
I don't know.
All right. Would you rather Deanna get famous and move to L.A. or Deanna get pregnant?
Famous and move to L.A.
Okay, that's what I fear. But she leaves you. Like, you break up. She leaves you. She gets famous. She, like, shoots to stardom. You never see her again. Or she gets pregnant and you have a family.
I'm going to say famous and move to L.A. because I know she doesn't want to get pregnant and have a family either. So,
I didn't know that about her when I wrote the question.
Yeah, so I don't think she would want that. And so I would say famous and leaves me and moves to L.A. And I would think that if she's leaving me behind and doesn't want to be with me anymore, that would be her choice too. And so I'd rather have something happen for her that she wants than having something
when I wrote that question, I thought you both wanted children, that's why. All right. Number three.
Okay. Who would you rather... I'm going to lighten it up for you on this one. Who would you rather show up on a first date on as your person that shows up to meet you on a first date? Someone who looks incredible, dresses great, smart, passionate, and emotionally mature, but emits a pungent body odor that bothers you and the people at the tables surrounding you.
Oh my goodness.
Or a person who looks great, smells great, but can only answer you in one word answers.
A.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's a hard one. That's a tough one. Yeah, but I can do something about body odor. I cannot do something about...
But in the moment, can you? Like, how would you address that? Okay, we have time to get into this.
Okay, would you rather Deanna get drunk and kiss a stranger, or would you rather you get drunk and vomit during an audition? A big audition.
Her kiss a stranger.
Really?
Yeah, that doesn't... she and I have different feelings on this. Like, a little makeout, like, wouldn't bother me, I don't think, that much.
Deanna, I just give you your out. All right, listeners. Well, that is Ben's out for the next couple of weeks. He is gone until the 17th. So join me join me next week as author Jen Dahl returns. You might remember her from our Single and Fabulous, or the very best single ladies roundtable show ever episode. And she'll be my you for the week. So come back as we ask each other questions about single lady life and experiences and what we've learned about the hard stuff. Until then, thank you to our engineer Vitor. Our theme song is Give Love by Josh Dion. We are Jacqueline Raposo and Ben Rosenblatt. And Love Bites will be back at the same time next week here at Heritage Radio Network.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please... join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.